Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
Welcome to SLWV, myself, Danny Vambilly, and the lovely
Letitia Vambilly.
How are you doing, Letitia?
I'm good, even though, as usual, heavy topics.
Yeah. We're taking it home today, straight to the heart. You know, it's always interesting that sometimes the Lord calls us, you know, to talk about topics that we're dealing with. You know, sometimes we are in a season, and the Lord uses us being in that season, you know, to also allow us to be like a connecting point for others who might be going through the same thing, but feeling alone. Letitia, what are we talking about?
You know, there are many wonders of this world. And when I think of wonders, two things always come to me personally, and that's the phenomenon of love and death. One thing they share is the mystery of their conception and their ability to bring life to a complete standstill. Now, love is the sweeter of these two phenomena, but today we bite on a bitter fruit called death. We're going to talk about how to mourn like a believer, leaning on 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 13 to 14 that speaks about those who died in Christ, stating that now we do not want you to be uninformed believers about those who are asleep in death, so that you will not grieve for them as others who do not have hope beyond this present life. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, as in fact he did, even so God, in the same way, by raising them from the dead, will bring with him those believers who have fallen asleep in Christ. Today we focus on how to grieve like a believer and what this actually means practically.
Well, you do not want to change your dial as we talk about how to grieve as a believer.
Can you feel it in your bones tonight?
Impact 103.
I think the question in all of our hearts is, are Christians allowed to grieve? You know, in many church situations when we've lost a believer, especially someone who we know is good and someone who has gone to be with the Lord, we tend to have a position where we try to stop the family from grieving. And we justify it by saying, hey, the person is with the Lord. They are with Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, so I want to pose that question, Letitia. Are we allowed to grieve as believers?
You know, when you ask this question, it brings me to something that we've experienced a lot in counseling, where Christians try to out Christ. Okay, so remember what happened with Lazarus, right? We can't say that the all-knowing, all-seeing, omniscient, omnipotent God did not know what had happened to Lazarus. He did. And he indeed knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, because he's all-knowing. So when others were weeping, he was knowing that God's going to do something. That's why he went and said, let's get him out. Let's get his wrappings off of his body. But with all this knowledge, with a very real and profound call, when Jesus heard of the death of Lazarus, Danny, what did he do?
He grieved, he cried.
He grieved, and he did the same with John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. He grieved, he cried. There are so many instances where Jesus does mourn. Sometimes he mourns for the state of his children, the church, and sometimes he mourns for the things that are actually happening, including some of the things that affected his own flesh, like in the Garden of Gethsemane or at the cross. And in these instances, I feel that we see Jesus mixing divinity with humanity in a way that still honors God. Because one thing he did is he directed his mourning to God. But I want to bring us specifically to Romans 12:15, because Danny, I know we've seen this recently, where people will be bereaved and they're not allowed to cry. The Christians are like, don't cry, God won't let you cry. Let's read Romans 12 verse 15. It says, would rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. That means that the Lord does respect a period of mourning. And so as a believer, yes, you are allowed to grieve.
Wow. So if you are that auntie or uncle or pastor who's been stopping people from grieving. I believe scripturally you are wrong. And, you know, as believers, we all grow. We learn to repent, you know, and maybe you don't know there's someone you offended because you didn't allow them to grieve. So it's never too late to just go and apologize and say, hey, listen, I thought one thing, but I was wrong. You're SOWV, Danny Van Billy and Letitia Van Billy. What are we touching on next?
Next, as we talk about mourning like a believer is express your emotions. I'm sure when you tuned in to this morning's show, you thought to yourself, grieve like a believer. We were going to say wear sackcloth, but don't actually cry. Like go in a monastery or a chapel and just praise the Lord for the death of your loved ones. I'm sure you just said, you know what, these people are going to
stand on one leg while you
stand on one leg and do it. But the truth is that God gave us emotions. God gave us humanity. And when we read scripture, we see God constantly telling us to mold our humanity into his divinity, but not to chastise or to criminalize having emotions. Emotions are important. And we see Jesus expressing his emotions in a way that still honored the Father, in a way that didn't grieve the Holy Spirit. But I always want to talk about the cross when I say express your emotions. On the cross, Jesus felt that God had left him, and he expressed that. I think that there's a God of compassion when people are mourning. Does scripture not say that his heart is close to the grieving? His heart is close to the mourning. So when you're going through a mourning period or a grieving period, again, we've seen this a lot. We once went to a funeral, Danny, where the loved one of the deceased was trying to cry and the aunties came and blocked the mouth. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
And as a counselor, I was sitting there like, no, you're causing PTSD in that person, postpartum trauma or depression, because they were not able to express. I think as believers, we take for granted how our believing that it makes us weak when we express to the Lord means that we are saving bombs for the future. And this PTSD will come out in how you're treating other people. It will even affect your relationship with God. So the next point about grieving like a believer is express your emotions. Jesus, who was divine, grieved for his life on the cross. And I think there's a beauty in that. There's a vulnerability in that. That when David cried out to the Lord in all of the Psalms, God came through for him. When Jesus cried out in the Garden of Gethsemane, the angels came to strengthen him. And so now we've got a module for how to get angels to strengthen you. If you want angels to strengthen you like they did Jesus, you're gonna have to break down those walls and express your hurt, your pain, all your emotions to the God who you turn to in times of grieving and mourning, even when you don't understand.
Yeah, Letitia, that is a mouthful. And I hope we are receiving this and, you know, just making notes for the future, because hey, we're all born, and sadly we all are going to pass, and it's how you deal with it that decides the quality or the believing, should I say, the believingness of your grieving.
Oh Lord, English. No, what I should say, English.
English. We're talking about grieving and how to do it as a believer. You know, now, it doesn't matter what race you are, your height, the place you come from, your denomination. If you are grieving, we've identified that there are certain stages to it. The first step being denial. This is typically where you are not really believing that this thing is happening. You know, and a lot of us will talk about, man, you know, maybe someone you love passed on and you just went through a stage where you couldn't believe that it's happening. And that stage can be a month. It can be years, you know, just depending on how you deal with it. And then when we go from that and, you know, it's actually beginning to get into our heads and, man, this person is gone. Sometimes then we get angry, you know, we're angry at life. Sometimes we're angry at God, you know, just, you know, still being in that stage of grieving. It's still a part of grieving. Then you find yourself beginning to bargain, you know, and you're bargaining sometimes even with God, you know, maybe if I do this, mm-hmm. will you bring them back?
If I had done this.
Or if I had done this, you know, would they not be in that place? And I think it's a very, very hard place to be in. And a lot of us, when we lose people we love, we begin to bargain. Now, after our bargaining does not work, sadly, that's when a lot of us go into a state of depression, you know, because you begin to accept that this person that you love, this person that you thought would always be there. And, you know, and sometimes it can even be a pet, you know, who you've just had for so long. And you see that, man, there's actually a permanent separation here. And the last step, which is the final step, is acceptance. You know, where after going through denial, after going through anger, after bargaining and your bargains don't work, and then you go through a state of depression that finally leads to acceptance. Mm. You know, so as we talk about this, we really want to ask you as believers to ensure that you don't interrupt. Mm. You know, help people go through the process of denial. Support them when they're going through that anger. Mm-hmm. You know, don't demonize them. Don't say you're not being Christian because now you're bargaining. Mm-hmm. You don't accept the will of God. Mm-hmm. Or if they depress, you've got a spirit. This mm-hmm. is not how Christians do it. No. Allow people to go through these different stages of grief. And when we come back, Letitia, I believe you'll use your background in psychology to just really touch on this as we encourage us all to take this one step at a time.
Bringing you the heart of the music, Impact 103.
You're on Surviving Life with the Vambilis on Impact 103. And today we're talking about how to mourn like a believer. And before our break, we were talking about the five steps of getting through grief, which were denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. You know, a lot of us believers are well-meaning in how we want to walk with the Lord. It's not always people that just want to crash out and live an ungodly life. They are truly a strain of believers who want to do right by God and by His word. And these believers fall into a trap of wanting to speed up the process because they want to heal fast enough to continue with their lives. And believe it or not, sometimes in the process of mourning, we become angry at God because the denial, the depression, the acceptance, and all of that is not going away, especially when we get to the point of depression. And that's when we start asking the Lord, where are you? Why aren't you taking this pain away? As believers and human beings, I think we can begin to take for granted the natural processes that must happen with your emotions in order for you to come full circle in the understanding of what you're grieving and the person that you have lost. It would be completely inhumane to lose a mom, a sibling, a loved one, whatever it may be, a spouse with whom you've built a life, and just be expected to continue and go on as if nothing ever was. I do not think God is a masochist or a sadist. Sometimes we speak about His divinity as if He doesn't see our human state, that He doesn't see our human condition. But Scripture speaks of Christ having gone through every emotion, every temptation, except He did not fall. But when it comes to grieving, we physically see Christ grieving. And I think that as believers, that should give us a beeline, Jesus. The same God that comforted David is the same God that can comfort me in this time. But what you need to understand is that the process will be there. Now, can God speed up the five-step process? Yes, He is Jehovah. He can. Can the process be elongated? Yes, because we all come from different circumstances. So from my psychological background, I can tell you for sure that a normal grieving period takes about 1 to 3 years. Now, I think this is important to say because if in 6 months you have a whole breakdown at work, at the office, like you're just crying in the bathrooms, do not chastise yourself for that. There's studies that have been done to prove this 1 to 3 year process, depending on the personality. I can tell you that my grieving process when my dad passed away took me 7 years. For 7 years, I would wake up in the morning and cry as if he died yesterday, because the circumstances surrounding the loss of my dad and all of that was completely different than someone else. So allow God into your situation. Be patient with yourself. One day you will wake up with acceptance. One day you will wake up with acknowledging what has happened, but still seeing the good in God.
Impact 103.
Every step we take, we have dominion. I'm taking hold of
everything. You're on SOWV with Daniel Van Billy and Letitia Van Billy. You know, as counselors, we find ourselves sometimes dealing with super Christians, you know. And these are Christians who, like Letitia said earlier, are more Christian than Christ, you know. Where Jesus grieved and or cried, you as a Christian, like, I'm not allowed to cry, you know. And it might seem noble to you, but honestly, I think it's a misstep, it's a faux pas, it's really uncalled for, it's unnecessary. And so I really want to take this time to encourage us as believers to get help. You know, accept help when you are down. You know, the body of Christ is not called a finger of God, you know. It's a body, because the body has many parts. And if you are going to grieve and it's lasting long, like Letitia here said, hers lasted 7 years, you know, then there comes a point where you have to say, look, I need help. You know, we need to kick this thing. I love what she gave us, a time frame. You know, if you're still within the 1 year to 3 year time frame, you know, it's fine. But if you pass 3 years and you're still feeling that, oh man, I'm still there, then we'll really like to encourage you to get help. It takes nothing away from you as a person, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a counselor yourself, to just say, hey, I'm in a place where I can't kick this by myself. I need the body of Christ to come and stand with me. You know, with the same breath as well, I'd like to encourage those, you know, if you're around someone who's been grieving for a long time, remember to be gentle. You know, if it's not past the 3 year mark, leave them alone. You know, allow them to go to their process. And even if it is past that 3 year mark, still be gentle. Be human in the way you approach the believers around you. Because sometimes the superhuman Christians are a bit hurtful, and they actually end up walking in a way that we do not see in Scripture. We need compassion, we need love, and we want to encourage you to accept the help. I think I
lost some trust. Follow us on our social media platforms at Impact 103.
So we see in Scripture, in the book of Ecclesiastes, I'll get the scripture shortly, where it speaks about God having put a need or a desire for the divine within us. And the reason that the Lord gives us this desire to search for the things that are divine is because He wants us to worship Him. He wants those things to bring us to Him. It's Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11, which says, He has made everything beautiful and appropriate in His time. He's also planted eternity, or a sense of divine purpose, in the human heart. Now, I'm just acknowledging that whenever it has to do with the divine or the supernatural, there is a desire that God has put in us to explore those things. But unfortunately, the desire to explore the divine does not cross over into the dead. that are human beings. That desire was placed there to seek out the things of God. Now, I want to quickly look at scripture and oppose how scripture tells us to mourn and grieve versus some of the ways that it has been popularized to us in today's world to grieve, and how the way we've been told to grieve looks pagan. Now, I was trying to look for this translation, but I've heard it so many times, our principal scripture for today that we've been reading, which is 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 13 to 14, where some of the translations say, "Do not mourn as pagans mourn." Now, when I looked up the definition of paganism, it's basically any religion that's outside of Christ. Okay, that's the Christian definition of paganism. Now, I quickly looked up how pagans mourn. Many pagan traditions prepare a special feast for the dead and invite them to come back and eat with them. They also believe in reincarnation. Now, when I was reading this, I realized how it is so normal in this day and age to talk to our dead loved ones. It is even normal to not test the spirit when we see them in dreams. As believers, we know that familiar spirits exist. And all I can say with regards to dreaming of dead loved ones is please seek out the spirit, pray about it, and let God speak to you. But scripture is clear on necromancy and speaking to the dead. I'm going to read Ecclesiastes 9 verses 5 to 6 that says, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun." So according to scripture, once a person's gone, they have nothing to do with anything happening under the sun. And I think that's why we have to question who it is that we're seeing when we see loved ones. Now, do not take for granted that the enemy preys on your vulnerability. When you lose a loved one, it is a door, a portal, if you will, to take advantage of your state for anything to be shown to you in the spirit realm. And as a believer, you have to bring it to the Lord and you have to shut it down. Now, it may sound cruel when scripture says the dead have no part with the living, because the dead are our dearly, dearly beloved. But the spirit realm is tricky. Blind obedience is better than questioning to the degree of being led into sin. Please remember that the problem with being too close to the things of the dead, scripture even says, "Let the dead bury their dead," is that it keeps you in a state of death. Unfortunately, when you mourn for too long and you cross out into speaking to the dead, you begin to die yourself in a spiritual way, and God has called us to live and live abundantly.
place. Amen.
Weekends with the Saturday Brunch from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. We are your ticket to a morning of nostalgia, inspiration, and fresh beats. Relive the classics with our themed playlist taking you back to the golden age of Christian contemporary music. Stay tuned for our soul-stirring poetry feature followed by the new song feature showcasing the latest hits. Join me, Tsulanangi Chabe, every Saturday 9 to 12 and make memories with the Saturday Brunch only on Impact 103. Your weekend, your music.
Impact 103. Let faith come alive.
You're on SOWV, and you know, if you're a regular listener, that we always encourage that we support the widows and that we stand with them, you know, understanding that it's not easy to be a widow. Mm. But today we actually want to add scripture to that, you know, so that we are concise and biblical on what the Bible says we should do with the widows.
You know, one would think the way we speak about widowhood, that God only has good things to say about widows and that there's actually no biblical expectation from widows. Ironically, 1 Timothy 5 verse 3 to 16, I'm going to name it again because it says a bunch of unpopular things with regards to widows, and you have to go and look at it for yourself as well. 1 Timothy 5 verses 3 to 16, which we're about to read, the title of this of these verses is Honor Widows. Now, when I saw that title, I didn't expect what it would say. So let's just read what the word says and discuss it later. It says, honor and help those widows who are truly widowed, alone and without support. But if a widow has children or grandchildren who are adults, see to it that these first learn to show great respect to their own family as their religious duty and natural obligation, and to compensate their parents or grandparents for their upbringing. For this is acceptable and pleasing in the sight of God. Now, a woman who is really a widow and has been left entirely alone without adequate income trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. Whereas she who lives for pleasure and self-indulgence is spiritually dead even while she still lives. keep instructing the people to do these things as well so that they may be blameless and beyond reproach. If anyone fails to provide for his own and especially for those of his own family, he has denied the faith by disregarding its precepts and is worse than an unbeliever who fulfills his obligations in these matters. Verse 9, a widow is to be put on a list to receive regular assistance only if she's over 60 years of age, having been the wife of one man and has a reputation for good deeds. She's eligible if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the feet of saints, if she has assisted the distressed and has devoted herself to doing good in every way. But refuse to enroll the younger widows, for when they feel their natural desires in regard of Christ, they wish to marry again, and so they incur condemnation for having set aside their previous pledge. Now, at the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips, busybodies, meddlers in things that do not concern them, talking about things they should not mention. Verse 14, so I want younger widows to get married, have children, manage their household, and give opponents of the faith and not give opponents of the faith any occasion for slander. Some widows have already turned away from the faith to follow Satan. If any believing woman has dependent widows in her household, she must assist them according to her ability, and the church must not be burdened with them, so that it may assist those who are truly widows, those who are alone and are dependent.
Who can open doors no man can open?
For those of you who've been messaging, unfortunately we're not in studio today because we are spending time grieving. We lost one of our very close friends who also happens to be, you know, a very committed believer in the Pretoria region. Yeah, just because we did not inform his family, we will not mention his name on air. But we just want to say to his family, we love them. And just to encourage both his wife and those around them, and even ourselves who are probably in a state of shock right now and grieving, you know, that to grieve in the Lord. Yes, there's no exact science to it. But yeah, as much as we can, may we be led.
Just wanted to pray as well for those who have turned away from the Lord because they felt let down by the death of a loved one. We just want to extend a prayer to you in this moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have made. Father, we come back to you saying that you are the all-knowing, all-seeing God, and that in due time, all things will be made clear to us. Lord, I pray that the burden of grief will be lifted from everybody that is hearing this broadcast, Lord, that the enemy who has taken advantage of the vulnerability and the emotional weakness during the grieving process shall be kicked out in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, like a loving father, you always wait for us to come back. And so, Lord, I pray that anyone that has left you because they've lost a loved one would come back to you in blind faith, trusting that only you know the top from the bottom. Only you know what has happened. Father, give them a new expectation for what you can do, believing again, O Lord, having hope again in Jeremiah 29:11. And this we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, and we all say amen.
Amen. Thank you, Letitia. I think this is probably one of the hardest shows we ever had to do.
Yeah,
there's lots of tears, yeah. Lack of sleep, just grieving, just the natural stages of grieving. So, to anyone who's grieving, we are with you.
Yeah.
And I think it just felt real for us to, to just partake in this on air with you, so that you have an example. You can look back and say, hey, look, I've seen this before. It can be done in Christ, and that you will not condemn yourself, no matter where you are in your stages of grieving. For myself and Letitia,
goodbye and see you next week.
Impact 103.